Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. Today is Friday, April 25th, and we do have a guest. But first, I want to say happy birthday to Catherine Loveman. Catherine, we're so grateful for your work here at Mountain Brook Baptist in the children's ministry, and we just celebrate you today. Our guest reader today is Renee DeRamus. Miss Renee works in our Christian Life Center with our after-school ministry program. She also helps out in the kitchen, and you'll see her at many of the church festivals doing whatever it takes to help that be successful. Renee is a dear friend of Mountain Brook Baptist, and we look forward to a time of sitting down to talk about things of life and faith after she reads God's Word for us today. Thank you, Renee, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Our first passage is Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was a governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Our next passage is Mark 7, 24 through 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, epitha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Our third reading is Proverbs 25:11-12. "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear."
Thank you so much, Renee, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. You have been working in the Christian Life Center for over 8 years, but I'm not sure that everyone knows a lot about you. Let's start with a get-to-know-you question. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up on the western side of town in an area called Bush Hills that was close to Legion Field and Rickwood Field.
And tell me a little bit about your family.
My parents were divorced when I was a baby, and my mother and I lived with my grandmother and granddaddy.
And then where did you go to college?
I went to UAB and several other ones, but I finally settled at UAB.
And what did you study?
I studied health, physical education, recreation.
So that leads into a question about your career. What did you do for your career? And I feel like you've been here for a second career, but let's talk about that in a little bit.
Yes, I was a physical education teacher, and I worked in elementary, high school, and ended up in a middle school at Chelsea for 26 years.
What was one of your favorite things about teaching PE?
Well, we always had fun. I enjoyed working with the coaches, and the kids were a lot of fun, except the discipline part wasn't my favorite.
What were some of your favorite sports to instruct?
Well, I coached volleyball and track.
Okay. I didn't know that you coached volleyball. Give me a little pointer.
Stay in the game, do your best, and work as a team.
What are some of your hobbies and interests?
Well, I've recently been doing some trail hikes at Oak Mountain Park, and I've loved decorating my house for the past couple of years, and I love to go thrift store shopping.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about thrifting. When you go into one of these shops, what are you looking for?
I love to find bargains, and I like clothes, and I like to collect pigs. So I look for pigs and other items that I think would be pretty decorations.
Why do you like pigs? Did you grow up having that as your favorite animal, or how did you get to the point where you said, I'm going to collect those?
I don't know. I just like them because they're chubby, and they're happy, and they're cute. Their tail is cute.
Good answer. How did you come to faith, and what has that journey been like?
Well, I was 14 years old. I had gone to the Methodist church with my grandmother, and I had gone on a retreat, and I was having a crush on the youth director, and we were out watching him play volleyball. And a girl from Briarwood Presbyterian came up and sat down on the log with me and shared with me the four spiritual laws, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart.
And then were you baptized or in the Methodist church? Did you do some kind of confirmation? What was your next step?
No, my aunt went to West End Baptist, and she said they have a great youth group over there. So I started going over there and stayed in the Baptist denomination for a long time.
And what are some ways that you've seen God work throughout your life?
Well, I would say that even in my younger years as a teenager, we had, like I said, youth group in the church, and when I went to college, we had Christian groups such as Baptist Student Union, and when I was a single adult, I was in a good, large Baptist church with a huge single adult ministry, and then as I got older, I still was in the single adult ministry, but God's always had a group for me to be involved in.
Now, I know that you are a musician. I've seen you play the piano and you sing, and I know that worship is important to you. Is there a specific song that is on the top of your list this week?
This week it's The Wonderful Blood by Tiffany Hudson of Elevation Worship.
And you're on a worship team that actually sings this song. I'd like to hear more about that team.
Well, they meet on Friday nights. It's a prayer hub. And we have a lot of young people. We have like three guitars, and the voices of the people and the worship leader are just awesome, and I just enjoy it. I'm very fortunate.
You have been a great source of encouragement to us at Mount Brook Baptist. Some 8 years ago, you and I met, and you came to be on staff here with our Christian Life Center, specifically at first with our after-school ministry program. What are some ways that you have sought to help the students know Jesus during that time?
Well, I try to develop a relationship with them and don't want to force Jesus on anybody. But at some point, I would talk or have a little devotional, maybe periodically. I used to do more when I first started than the latter part, just share about Jesus.
And you would even plan activities for them. What are some fun things that y'all have done?
Well, we had one girl that could sing good, so I brought my karaoke, and we've played games in the past, like Monopoly, and we had an Easter egg hunt last week in the former sanctuary set up in the gym, and they like that.
And you often play whatever the kids want to play. Have you gotten pretty good at ping pong?
Oh, yes. I can beat some of them, but they beat me a lot.
You also help out with the festivals like the Trunk or Treat or the End of Summer Celebration. What is one of your favorite things to do on those days?
Well, I like to be of help, clean up afterward or set up and just be around the people, help out in any way I can.
Which leads us to spiritual giftedness. I know that one of your spiritual gifts is helps because I've seen you in action. What are some of your other spiritual gifts?
Well, exhortation, because as a former coach, you want to encourage the kids to do the best they can, be the best they can.
And how would you encourage us as Mountain Brook Baptists as we seek to be the hands and feet of Christ?
I understand that there are Mountain Brook Baptist has many mission partners, maybe over 23 or something like that. And I think that is a wonderful way that people can plug in to help other people outside, even outside this church, not to mention what they do here at the church.
You also are really involved in missions with your church and with different ministries. Tell me about one of them.
I was fortunate to work, play the keyboard, and sing for an African lady in her ministry, and also went on to another minister and set up for her and sang for her ministry. And then I also hosted and was on the board of an African minister from Uganda, and I was able to travel to Africa several times and go to Honduras as well many times.
Now, we consider you as one of our own here at Mount Brook Baptist, but I know that you have your own church home, and we would like to hear a little bit more about that ministry and how God is working around our city.
I attend Kingsway Church in Irondale, and I've been going there for many years, and the pastor is just great there. He's so exuberant and exciting, and he just delivers wonderful messages, and he loves the people there.
And even though you have your own church home, you also come and worship with us often. And you've been on several retreats with us, including the past women's retreat. What is something that you learned there or stuck out to you?
I like the fact that there's so many people involved. There were a group of ladies that led a session on health, and they brought food in and taught you how to exercise, the benefits of exercising, and we all participated and learned some new recipes that would be healthier for our body.
Renee, I mentioned earlier that you have blessed me by praying alongside me. How did you grow in your prayer life, and why do you think it's something that's important?
I think just getting in the Word daily is a wonderful thing to do. You can connect with God through His Word. You can pray His Word. You can have a list of prayer requests people have given you and needs to write down in a prayer book. and present them to the Lord.
And so when you are praying intercessory prayers, would you give us a little peek into what that conversation with God is like?
My favorite thing that I do, and I know the Lord gets tired of hearing that, is the, I don't know if you call it an acronym, but it's C-A-T-S-I, cat's eye. But anyway, confession. C stands for confession, A for adoration, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication, and I for intercession. And so that kind of gives you a guide to use. You don't have to, you know, stay on that, but it does give you some praise time, some thanks time, some intercession time, and putting your request out there.
Renee, it has been such a blessing to talk with you today and to learn more about your life and faith. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Let us pray. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. I thank you for my time that I've worked at Mount Brook Baptist. I thank you for every person here, and I pray you'd be with Mary and Wayne as they lead everyone here and the other ministers as well. Be with each person on this podcast and meet their needs and just help them to have a closer walk with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.